Morning, everyone. It's great to see you all this morning. We are continuing our Spiritual Gifts series. If you can make it along tonight, as Sharon indicated, that would be great. We're looking at some more of the gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12 tonight, going a little bit deeper into that and responding to the presence of the Holy Spirit as he moves and flows in our lives. So please do think about that. And yeah, we're going to have a lovely service together on Good Friday, this Friday coming. So if you can come out with the kids, we're going to spend some time remembering Jesus, and different people will be contributing. So it'll be special to do that together. Okay, we are going to crack on here in our gift series. We're moving through them pretty well now. I know many of you maybe thought it took us a while to get to the actual gifts. Now we're right in the middle of them. The very quick recap would probably be best if you're just picking up this morning to listen to some of the podcast, so you can pick up the flow. But the very quick recap is we've looked at the Ephesians 4 gifts, which we often talk about being the main ministry type gifts that are needed to really build and establish the house of God. That's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. And then can you turn those down a wee bit, please? Thank you. Then 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 gifts, which are often called the manifestation gifts. So the gifts that disclose the activity of God in particular situations and circumstances, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy, the discerning of spirits, the gifts of the miraculous gifts, the gifts of healing, and so on. And so we've explored them, and basically in the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the other gifts, the gifts that are mentioned in the four passages in the scripture. So if you don't mind, just to make sure we're just starting from a place of the Word of God, I'm just going to read those again. We read them last week, but if you don't mind, I'm going to read them again. I think they're on the screen because they're not on my page. And I know I should know these off by heart, of course, but hey-ho, I don't, right? 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, so we've looked at that. Second, prophets, we've looked at that, and teachers, and miracles, then gifts of healing. And today we're going to look at helping in a moment, gifts of guidance, which is the gift of administration, which we looked at last week, and different kinds of tongues, which you've looked at, okay? So then 1 Peter 4, another passage on the gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks in the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. We're going to look at that gift first off in a moment or two. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And in Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace to each given to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So those ones that were in bold on the screens were ones that we hadn't yet looked at, but last week we got to take some time to explore leadership and administration, and it was great to hear some good feedback on how that was helpful for people, and we really hope that that will continue to be the case. What I said last week, just as a preamble into where we're going with these gifts this week, is that the leadership gift and the administration gift both have a wider community impact. So people that have a strong gift in leadership or administration are, generally speaking, thinking probably more about the whole than the individual. That's not to say they're not concerned about individuals. They are. And when they sit with individuals, they can be wonderful and brilliant. But often their natural kind of way of thinking will take them in that way, and it has an impact more often in that way. And so today, the gifts that we're looking at are probably, they can still be used very much, particularly if you have the gift of leadership alongside some of these gifts that we're going to look at today, then they can have a wide community impact as well. But they're, I suppose, generally speaking, more specifically, have an individual impact. And so I'm going to try my best to get through four today, right? That's the gift of helping or serving, the gift of mercy, the gift of giving, and the gift of encouragement. If it's 11:45 and I'm still on the second one, I'll just do two, okay? So don't be panicking, right? Just in case you're starting to look at your watch already, all right? And what we're going to try and do each time is, like last week, I'd love just to create space rather than just teaching us, just to allow the Holy Spirit to move as we teach on it. Is that okay? So I am going to ask you, if you feel God has gifted you in this area, or you feel you'd like God is gifting you, or you're becoming more aware of it, things that we say about each gift, if they begin to resonate with you in a way that goes, I think that's me, or at least I think that's what God has given me in this season, I'd love you to respond to that by standing, and then we're just going to take a few moments in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit just to stir that gift up. I should also say, before we do that, that you have more than one gift, okay? So if you stand for more than one, that's okay. Knock yourself out, yeah? Go for it, right? Because God has gifted us in lots of different ways. It could be two or three distinct gifts that strongly come together in you. And the beautiful thing about this is, try not to get too categorical about this or too prescriptive about this. I think this is the kind of thing that we're all too wonderfully made, beautifully and individually, uniquely kind of complex individuals for this to be something that we just kind of stereotype or objectify people with a gift. It's part of our whole makeup, our personality, everything that we are, and we get to encourage one another and have curious conversations together. But the first gift that we're going to look at this morning is the gift of helps, or the gift of serving. So the gift of helps, or the gift of serving. And it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's also mentioned in 1 Peter 4, and it's also mentioned in Romans chapter 12. So this particular gift gets three mentions out of the four different passages. So it's obviously significant, and obviously Paul, the Apostle Paul and Peter, who wrote one of the passages, saw this gift in action in the early church. They saw it happening, and therefore they wanted to call it out and acknowledge it. The gift of helps is a really significant and important and beautiful gift. It's mentioned in all these passages in different ways, as I've said, and it says on the screen here, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So God gives you strength to do this. This gift is a demonstration of the love of God in really practical ways, okay? It's a demonstration of the love of God in incredibly practical ways. The gift of helps refers to the capacity to unselfishly meet the needs of others through very, very practical service. That's a pretty helpful definition of the gift of helps. And a number of you have that. Can I be a pain and just ask you to turn those down a wee tiny bit more? Sorry. Can you all see me okay if I turn them down a wee bit? It's just I can't really see you, but you're out there somewhere. That's great. Thank you, Johnny. People with this gift render practical service in the church to help things function in the church smoothly and easily. People with the gift of helps find joy in doing a lot of the simple, maybe not even simple at certain times, but maybe some of the more unseen, messy tasks that others might naturally avoid. And I just really want to say that I feel so blessed and so fortunate and so privileged to be part of leading and serving a church where this gift is strong. I want to say from the outset, we would be nowhere near where we are as a church after 6 or 7 years without the strength of this gift. The number of buildings that we've had, the work that's had to be done, the teams that have had to be built, the people that have served along the way. We're only here because of the activity of this gift flowing through the body of Christ. When the church, and while the church, and while we've taught over the last number of weeks and months that the church is built upon apostolic and prophetic gifts that help, they help lay the foundations. They help proclaim the lordship of Jesus. They help understand the architecture that's needed to get the foundations of the kingdom family in order. And the fivefold gifts help build the walls up. But the gift of helps is so important in that mix to make sure that those gifts have everything they need in order for the walls to go up and to enable those gifts to focus on those things. The best example I can think of this is actually when we think of building a house. Now, nobody would ever let me near trying to build a house here. But when I've led many trips to Uganda over the years, I've got half decent at putting a brick on top of a brick, right? So they let me now and again help build a wall, right? some of them are still standing, miraculously, okay? You can come with me sometime and see, right? But in more the older ways, if you like, because out there, there's still a lot of the ways that we would have built houses maybe 50, 60 years ago here. People have to mix the mortar manually, or it's called muchanga in Uganda. And you have to mix the mortar. The bricks have to be passed. The scaffolding has to be built from trees and tree trunks and plumb lines. Old bits of string are held to hold a plumb line for how a wall is built. And often when we've been out there in the past, you have a number of the skilled Ugandan builders and a few of us who they let build alongside. And the area is set out with different bricks and with different bags of cement and with spades and all of this kind of thing. And off we go starting to build. And there's a number of people that are skilled enough to build, and there's a number of people that aren't. But somehow all of those gifts have to work together for that wall to go up. And particularly as the wall goes up further and further, when people are trying to stand on things to lay bricks up high, you have these people who are really good at mixing the mortar to make sure that the mortar's ready in time before the last batch goes out. You have people that are watching to go, that brick needs past that builder because he's about to finish that little bit off. And so we need to get a brick line going where everybody's passing bricks so that that particular point won't be held up at that particular moment because it needs more resource. And then you've got other people that are bringing levels to make sure that the thing is level, or you've got other people bringing water to make sure that everybody's hydrated, and you've got these helps that are all going on to make sure that the building functions well. And I think that's a bit how it happens and works in the church. You have certain gifts, maybe preaching and teaching and leading and overseeing and administrating and pastoring, that are needed for the building up of the walls. People that are graced and skilled to do that. But there are also people then who are in the body of Christ who are watching and almost intuitively and instinctively know, if I do this particular thing, it's going to make all the other work happen much more smoothly and easily and make sure the right functioning of the church still gets done. For someone like me, I would not say I am overly strong in this particular gift. I do like to get stuck in at times, and sometimes I find that refreshing because I'm using my hands rather than my head, which I have to use a lot of the time. So sometimes I find that refreshing, but I'm not really, really strong in it. In fact, sometimes when I do try to get practical, my dad usually says to me, stick to the preaching, son, or something along those lines, right? Because it's not necessarily my strong suit. But let me say this, what someone like me finds who, as I tried to describe last week, is maybe usually thinking more out of the gift of leadership, it's the details that actually really stress me. And then I begin to sort of micromanage detail that brings anxiety to me, that it's actually quite a practical thing that most of you who are more practically wired just go, that's easy, what are you stressed about that for? Yeah, but I find myself almost getting flooded with those things if I had to kind of do all that. I say all that to say that leaders probably don't communicate as much as they should how much they appreciate the gift of helps, because it helps release them to do what God has called them to do, while at the same time making sure that everything gets done. So I tend to live in the space of vision and strategy and these amazing things that God's going to do. And then I'm like, isn't this really? And I'm half maybe gifted at being able to give a sort of compelling kind of sense of this is where we need to go. And then I realize what it actually takes to get that done. So for example, let me tell you about when we thought about Nua. It was amazing, like this, you know, God's going to bring these streams of the church together in Ireland. You know, we're going to have this amazing time. We're going to go there with our kids. Imagine thousands of us worshiping Jesus all across Ireland together, the Spirit moving, you know, us interceding for a new awakening in Ireland. And all of that, and it has been that and more. It's been an unbelievable time. But, you know, the first time, 3 or 4 months before it happened, I was completely and utterly flooded with stress because it had this great idea and just didn't fully know how, because it needed all sorts of helps to get it done. It needed tents and security guards and insurances and medical stuff and all sorts of things that I hadn't really fully thought about. And each one of them had about, like if you clicked on it, the drop-down menu had about 10 or 12 actions on each one of them. And all of a sudden I realized, right, you know, there's learning from this, Alan, yeah? That we need all of these gifts moving together in order for the things of God to get fulfilled. And so leaders will be severely hampered without the support of a significant number of people in the body of Christ with the gift of helps. I should also say, it's not just a practical role. The source is God, and therefore it's spiritual. We had a little phrase that when we were building the church in Lurgan, growing the church in Lurgan, we often say, if it's not practical, it's not spiritual. And you know, we need, because Jesus showed us that. He incarnated what this was all like in his flesh and blood. In early church, in Acts chapter 6, it tells us that people were chosen in the places of leadership with the gift of helps, essentially. But they were the seven, of which Stephen was one of them. And it tells us in Acts chapter 6, I don't have this in the screen, brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And we will turn this responsibility, which was waiting on tables and feeding the widows and the orphans, we'll turn this over to him. And I just really want to say, I've watched this gift. We as a leadership have watched this gift in our community, our church community, over the years. People who have cleaned, served in tea and coffee, and welcome, counted our monies, just on and on and on I could go. I think about people like John and Claire Bustard, who for decades have given themselves to the body of Christ and have manifested this gift in the most incredible and beautiful ways without needing to be brought up to the front or recognized. It's just that ongoing gift of helps. And sometimes we find it maybe, or we should more acknowledge our appreciation for that kind of gift. But I just want to say, as one of the leaders of the church, the church cannot happen. It cannot function properly without this gift and grace. Many others of you, Keith and Sharon, lead the way in this, even as a leadership team, and how we see the gift of helps moving through the body of Christ. You know, Johnny and Emma Beggs, people that have come into the church, you can already, over the last couple of years, you can already see the gift of helps. Ben and Caroline, Bill and Helen. This is the gift of helps that's willing just to help. And I could mention so many more. The reason I just mentioned some names is because actually the best way to teach this sometimes is to actually talk about some people who embody it. Because then you go, oh, that's right, that's what it looks like. That's what it is. And I just want to say, for those of you who have been called with the gift of helps, God has called you to serve in order that others can serve in their gifts. And it's a beautifully selfless gift, and God will reward your obedience. And God will honor you. And we honor that gift this morning. Some of you have the gift of helps, and you happen to have the gift of admin as well, or guidance, which is brilliant, because you're not just good at helping individually, but you can actually organize a whole team to help. So sometimes when we're on that building site in Uganda, then you've got these people that have the gift of helps, and they're passing bricks, and they're doing it, and then you have somebody who actually organizes 15 people to pass bricks, you know, because they've got the gift of administration and guidance with the gift of helps, and that helps the flow of everything. It's not to say that the gift of helps does not mean when we think about this gift that those who are strong in these gifts are the only one that should serve. It's not when we do like a church cleanup that we should just go, right, let's get the gift of helps, they'll sort that out for us, and the rest of us take the morning off. It's not to be thought of, it's not to be abused, basically, in that way. In the same way, all these gifts that we look at today, we're all supposed to be like Jesus, so we're all supposed to move in them to some extent. But in the same way that we should never say that only the people with the gift of generosity should tithe, then we should never say that only those with the gift of helps are the only ones that should serve. We're all called to serve. But those who have the gift of helps actually find a greater level of joy and enjoyment out of helping and serving in that way. And I've had to learn this because at times I've felt bad of asking certain people to maybe help practically do certain things. And those with the gift of helps usually say something to me along the lines of, it's okay. It's okay. I get joy out of doing this. And that's been really helpful for me because often you feel guilty for feeling that you're overloading people with that. But if you realize, if you're here this morning and any of this is resonating with you, maybe you realize you have an urge to help others and you seem to notice things that need done without having to be told. Or you maybe even think, if I did this for some of the leadership, I think this would really help and you would get joy out of it. If you're wired that way, you probably have the gift of helps. If you don't mind taking the work behind the scenes and you don't mind getting things done without, in fact, almost the spotlight would make you feel awkward if you were recognized for it. But just enjoy doing what others have maybe been avoiding. You probably have the gift of helps, doing small things without expecting any credit. A deeper enjoyment comes in you from seeing how your effort on behalf of others enables and encourages them then to use their own gifts. And so I want to pray for you this morning. If you feel like you have the gift of helps or if God wants to put that upon you. And I feel like if we go back to just the very first verse, if it said, I think in the First Peter 1, it said that if you have the gift of mercy, yeah, there it is there. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides. I think God wants to give you strength to do this gift because spending yourself serving other people outside of God's empowerment can leave you feeling used. And we don't want that. When it feels like it comes from God, then it's a strength that God provides. So God wants to give you strength today if you feel that God has graced you with that gift. So would you stand if you feel that gift relates to you? Because we'd love to pray for you. And this is slightly ironic because often the people with the gift of helps don't want to be recognized, okay? But I just really want you, if you feel like that's part of one of the main ways that you're called to contribute, okay? Great. Anyone else? Okay, so what I'm going to do is we're going to pray. Chris has got a word here. We might have one or two of our elders that just might pray over or just share something. But if you're in part of the prayer ministry team, would you go and stand alongside some of these people, lay a hand on them, please? And let's just make sure. And we're going to just pray that the Holy Spirit would come in a moment. And well, he's here, but just pray that he really moves some people.
Yeah, so just before we pray, and this might be for a few people that aren't currently standing. I was reading this morning about the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem and people taking their coats off and putting them down in the ground. And I felt God just brought that story back to me. And he said, you have to take your coat off if you're going to serve. And there's a feeling of vulnerability when you do that. But serving like Jesus did requires vulnerability, a full giving of ourselves. And so when somebody comes into your house and they're visiting and they don't take their coat off and they sit there, they're not really fully active in staying in your house. They're wanting to leave. But when you come into your own house, you always take your coat off because you're home. And I felt that God said, you know, Jesus took off his outer garments when he served, when he washed the disciples' feet. And I think that for some of you, it's time to take your coat off. It's time to roll up your sleeves. You know, when you take your coat off, I have mine on for that reason. And you set it down, you're saying, I'm here and I'm staying here. You roll up your sleeves, you're saying, I'm ready to serve no matter what that takes. But there's a vulnerability with that too, because now you've taken your coat off, you can be hurt. And the people who are going to serve in this next season, who are going to demonstrate the heart of God in their service, are people who are willing to just lay down everything that would protect them and serve like Jesus served with humility But you've got to recognize that you're home, that you're safe, and that you're willing to serve because you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some of the people that you serve are going to let you down. They're going to hurt you, but you're not serving them. You're serving Jesus. And so to keep on serving, we have to have that posture of service, but also that vulnerability of always keeping off what would protect us. Because when somebody arrives in your house and they sit there with their coat on the whole time, it doesn't feel very good, does it? But when we fully enter in, we have that vulnerability, but it looks like Jesus. It looks like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you serve. So Al's going to pray, but maybe there's one or two of you that haven't stood already. This is your chance to stand and receive as well.
Thanks, Chris. That's really good. If anybody else wants to stand, please do that. And can we just make sure everybody's got somebody praying over them or with them? Please, that would be great. If you're not on the prayer ministry team, but you're sitting beside somebody, that's okay. Just lay your hand appropriately on their shoulder. Let's make sure that God is really moving in every person here that's responding. Come, Holy Spirit. Just receive from the Lord if you're standing. Just maybe you've never done this before, but if you're comfortable, you might even just want to hold your hands out in front of you as a sign of receiving. Just receive. Receive. This is, you all have beautiful personalities and dispositions. That's the kind of natural connection with this gift. But it's more than that. It's empowerment from God. And that's what we want you to receive this morning. So Holy Spirit, would you just now come afresh, fall afresh. Fall afresh, God. From the top of the head to the soles of their feet, God. Would you bring fresh empowerment, oh God, to serve you and to serve your body in this next season, God. We pray that, Lord, that they might even see new things and new ways of practically demonstrating that in this next season, that you would drop thoughts, pictures, insights into their spirits and their minds that come from you, Holy Spirit, that bring fresh empowerment to them in this next season. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come and move in power, I pray. Come and move in power, and through them in power in this next season, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that these people are often the glue that holds everything together. And we just pray that you would make them even more sticky, Lord, in this next season, how they stick and hold things together so that this body can grow strong in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Let's really honor these guys. Can we give them a round of applause just as we pray? Amen. Amen. Great. Okay. The gift of mercy. We're good to have a go at that, yeah? Good. This can seem, the gift of mercy is closely aligned to the gift of helps, but it's also slightly distinct, and I just think God wants to do something this morning with this gift as well. Romans chapter 8 says, if your gift is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Show mercy cheerfully. This gift is about compassionate, gracious favor directed towards individuals or even people groups. The difference between the gift of helps and mercy, you might ask, what is the difference? The gift of helps is often directed towards the church, not always, but the gift of helps might more specifically, if you like, be seen to help church leaders and to help the vision of the church in order to release other people to do the service and the ministry that they have to do. So it very much functions in a way that enables the church to operate, doing many small tasks, as I've said, taking care of details of the church so all the individual ministries can function smoothly. That's, I think, how the gift of helps maybe more generally functions. Where the gift of mercy is more specifically, I think, directed towards helping those people who are in immediate distress. People who are broken and helpless, the gift of mercy is almost magnetically drawn to those people. It knows it needs to do something. It knows things shouldn't be like that. It wants to make a difference, and it feels almost compelled to do so right away. Some people have both the gift of helps and the gift of mercy, so this can often flow together in a lot of people's lives. But the gift of mercy is not just an emotion, but it's a deep sense of calling that you've been given. It is divine love under the power of the Holy Spirit. It brings the atmosphere of heaven, the tenderness of the Father to humanity that's broken. It brings that into an environment. And it practices compassion in Jesus' name and brings glory to the Father. A couple of definitions. The divine enablement to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need. Or a more comprehensive one here, I think from Peter Wagner, it's mercy is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to feel genuine empathy for individuals, both Christian and non-Christian, who suffer distress, physical, mental, or emotional problems, and translates that compassion into cheerfully done deeds, which reflects Christ's love and alleviation of suffering. If you have the gift of mercy, it's almost like something deep inside you is moved by the plight of other people. Now, again, we should all have a measure of that. We all love Jesus. So we all should love the poor. We all have a command, really, in Scripture to love our neighbor as ourselves and to be about the poor and the broken and the helpless. So there should never be an excuse for not helping. But for those of us who have the gift of mercy, you almost find yourself, it probably feels relatively exhausting some days unless the Lord gives you the empowerment to do it, which is why, interestingly, it says if you have the gift of mercy, to do it cheerfully. We're living in a culture at the moment, the kind of woke kind of culture, if you want it, that has co-opted the social justice of the Scriptures into angry, reactionary, self-righteous actions. The church, part of the reason that's happened is because the church hasn't been showing mercy in the way it should. And something other than the Spirit of God has filled that space. We are the ones that are supposed to be showing up. And those with the gift of mercy will often lead the way in it to bring the cheerful, joyful demonstration of the tenderness of the Father to help those who are in need. It's like something happens inside you when you see pain. It's like Jesus, it says he was moved with compassion. Something in his innards, something happened. He felt something inside him. It moved him deep. I've watched this gift lots in this church. We'll talk about it in a minute. But I guess one of the best examples I've seen firsthand of this, I've seen it in my own dad. You just came home at nights and other people were going to be sleeping in our house, or people were going to be joining us for dinner, or people were showing up on a Sunday who needed some money. He was just drawn to that brokenness, or something came onto the news about pain of somebody's going through, and he would be just sitting on his chair weeping. That's the gift of mercy. It does something. It softens an environment because God has heard the cries of the broken. Genuine mercy is never applied out of a sense of duty. It's never done with a frown or a scowl. It can be righteously angry, of course, but it's done in cheerful service. And it's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful gift in this church. And I feel like this morning, the mercy of God just wants to hit this room again with another level of the pathos, as the Old Testament prophets would have called it, the pathos of God, the part of God that feels the pain of a broken humanity and is longing to alleviate people from their distress. I see this gift in beautiful ways in our church family. I see it in Jason, and especially Kathy. I see it in Sharon. I see it in Nina. I see it in Tristan and Esther. I see it in Vivian. I see it in Rachel Buchanan. I see it in people when you sit in front of them and they talk to you about people that they've helped. I could mention many more names. These are people who just are moved with compassion. Interestingly, sometimes this gift is seen in people who are actually quite broken themselves. And they're still on the way to getting whole. Because they have been so gripped by the mercy of God that it's changed them. And their character's still trying to catch up with it. But that's okay, because mercy has hit their heart. Mercy has hit their heart, and often it shows up in that way. Often the people who before they were saved might have even looked like some of the most unmerciful people are actually people who now operate in the gift of mercy because God has done something. It's partly strong in this church because it's also strong in our leadership. Sometimes I should say as well, it's important we don't stereotype with some of these gifts. I think people in our leadership, like Red Cross, but you know, particularly people like Sharon, we see, and I think Chris is the gift of leadership, or the gift of mercy. And if you were to put me and Chris here together, you might think, like, you know, well, who's a warmer personality? Who are you going to get a hug from quicker? You're all probably going to go me, right? but here's the thing that's really important. His gift of mercy is much stronger than my gift of mercy, because he gets up every day and he thinks about the poor and he thinks about inequality and he thinks about the heart of God and how we should be responding in our city and our community to the cries of the lonely and the broken and the refugee and the foreigner. That's the gift of mercy. So don't let it necessarily be the person that just looks like they're really lovely, because they might just have a nice personality, which is an amazing thing in itself. But the gift of mercy moves you in a way that your actions change. So let's call out the gift of mercy when we see it, and let's do that well so that that gift can function beautifully. That's why we have a bent towards justice and mercy in our church, because people are leading the way with that. Does that make sense? And so often the gift of mercy dovetails with sometimes, I think this is just important for some of you, sometimes the gift of mercy dovetails with the gift of leadership and administration. And if it does, then you are able to actually utilize that gift in a more maybe project or initiative type way, where you're building teams to respond to a specific issue. It's interesting in Jesus' life, I realized this morning that Jesus says, it says at least twice, Jesus was moved with compassion. One was to the crowds, and one was with the leper, an individual. And some of you have that gift functioning in different ways. So for those of you who don't really have the gift of leadership, but have a really strong gift of mercy, I said this last week, part of your frustration can be at times that you're so consumed with helping that particular individual that you can't understand why everybody else isn't sometimes. And you need the gift of administration and leadership to help function properly and well so that gift can be released in its fullest. We want to do that well. One of the other really strong gifts of mercy I've seen over the years is, some of you will know our friend, Elder in Lurgan, Wilson Freeburn. Yeah, he has the gift of mercy and definitely does not have the gift of administration, all right? Because it was the most beautiful chaos that he kept creating, because he just kept bringing people to church or bringing people home or that were just broken. But what a gift. I think it's potentially the strongest gift I've ever seen of the gift of mercy in that man. Beautiful, beautiful gift. And so every time you were like, can we get a bit of order here? You were like, well, it's really hard because he's just got this homeless guy like in his car, and it's the heart of Jesus, and we'll find a way. Because you let the gift of the heart of God lead the way. There was a woman in Acts chapter 9, and they're told she was called Tabitha. And it says she was, let's look at this, she was always doing good and helping the poor. She had the gift of mercy. John Thompson argues that her sickness and death, so she died in the story, if you read the story, It created such a vacuum in the church that those in need immediately sent for Peter, because they needed her back, basically. They needed her back. And so she came back, literally, from the dead. Peter, she was raised from the dead so she could serve the church. So I want to pray for the gift of mercy before we run out of time. So I just think the gift of mercy, I just have a sense over the last few days that the Lord wants to really just break open his mercy in this place this morning. Over us all, actually, but just over those. So if you feel like God has given you the gift of mercy, would you stand to your feet? Okay, well, you show the first name, we'll get people to move.
This morning have a picture of those of you with this gift, but you feel like your heart is shriveling up a wee bit, you know, it's running dry. And I was reminded of the widow with Elisha who was running out of oil, and she went and got more containers. And I feel like God wants to fill your heart up again with the oil of his Spirit, and that oil would then flow out of you and it would bring healing. Because when you look at how oil can actually be used for health benefits, it can be like an antioxidant, and it can be anti-inflammatory, and it can bring really strong healing properties. But it's the oil that comes from the Spirit. But I think in order for you to continue to give this way, God needs to enlarge your heart, actually, in a really caricature-ish kind of way, you know, just like bigger than the average human heart. I think God needs to fill you with more of his Spirit.
Amen. So let's pray for that out. So can we get people, prayer ministry team, would you go and spread out and pray? But quite a few people standing, so would you make sure everybody has a hand on them? Somebody put a hand on Vivian there, please, as well. Like somebody to pray for her as well. Could we all? Okay. Few more people standing. Well, everybody be the body. If you've never done it before, this is your first time to do that too. Well, just make sure everybody's covered. Great. Oh God, I thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for your mercy, God. God, where would any of us be without the mercy of a loving God? Who saw our brokenness and our pain and our sin and has poured out your mercies upon us. Thank you, Father, for that. And we thank you, Lord. We just believe, Lord, as a church, that you've called us to be a people, oh God, that bend under the mercy of a loving God. And God, I want to thank you for those people who have been knit together in their mother's womb and shaped through their lives for these kind of moments, God, to demonstrate, Lord, the mercy of the Father, the tender mercies of God. And Lord, I just want to pray in this place tonight, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would increase the sense of burden of your heart upon precious sons and daughters who love you, God, and want to be used by you. Come, Holy Spirit, increase that weight, oh God. But Lord, we thank you that with you, God, this weight isn't heavy, even though we feel and empathize and sympathize with the pain that you feel. We think that this burden is not heavy, but it's light. And And God, I pray, Lord, as Bruno said and prayed and prophesied, Lord, that fresh oil, oh God, would just be poured in. Fresh oil would be poured into these hearts, oh God, to serve you with mercy, God, in this season. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, God. I pray, Lord, too, for an increase in the resources that are needed to act upon this mercy, God, in the days ahead. I pray, Lord God, for provision to really help people out of distress. I pray for Holy Spirit-inspired solutions, oh God, that insight, kingdom solutions and insight, God, that would help alleviate the suffering that, Lord, these men and women feel your heart for. We thank you, God, that your desire is not just to show mercy, but to bring people out into a place of healing and wholeness. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them increased insight and wisdom for that in the days ahead. So, Lord, we thank you for this gift. We thank you for how you're moving in our body and how you're using all of these gifts, God, for the mobilization of the body of Christ into this world in which we've called us to, God, and this community that you've called us to. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we could stand, could we, together for a moment? All, could we, before we close? Let's just give these guys a round of applause as we do that. Let's honor them. Honor many of the sacrifices that are already being made. And we're out of time, so let me just pray a blessing over us. We've extended this series, I should have maybe said at the start, to the end of April. So we're going to take, next week we'll have a good Friday service, obviously, on Friday, and then an Easter service, family service on Sunday morning, and then we're going to take two or three more weeks in April to go through the rest of the gifts, because there's a lot of people in this congregation with the gift of giving and the gift of encouragement. You want to look at intercession and a few other gifts, hospitality. We really want to honor those gifts and stir them up in our midst, because we need them all, don't we? Need everybody contributing together. So let me just pray a blessing over us. And then if you would like some extra prayer for some of the stuff that's been shared, but if there's anything going on in your life at all that you need some prayer for, we would love to pray with you, and the prayer ministry team will be at the front here to please avail of that. So let me just pray over us and let us go and get some tea and coffee. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you're doing. We pray that you would seal and continue to stir up what you're doing in our midst. Lord, we pray for curious conversations, encouraging conversations over the next number of days and weeks as we get into life groups this week. stir us up, Lord, and help us to stir each other up to good works, as your word says, God. So bless us today, Lord, as we go from here. The love of God and the mercy of Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today and as we go into this week, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. Hopefully see you on Friday. Please do come tonight as well if you can't make it, over in Lurgan, 6:30. And let's get our kids and enjoy some tea and coffee together.